Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Bruce grew up in Spencer, Iowa. Now, Spencer, Iowa was only known for one thing, hosting the Clark County Fair, which was the largest county fair in all of the United States. And Bruce, growing up in the late 40s, early 50s, loved going to the fair because his grandfather owned a hamburger stand at the fair. And he loved eating those delicious, greasy 50s burgers at the hamburger stand. And one time he was there with a friend. He was about 15 years old, and they were enjoying those hamburgers, and afterward thought, well, let's go ride the rides and have fun at the county fair. And as they were walking around that fair, they saw these two very cute-looking girls their age and thought, well, hey, maybe we should go up and talk to them. And began speaking with them and found out they were from out of town. They were visiting and said, hey, would you like to go on some of the rides with us? And so they began, you know, taking them on some of the different rides on the county fair, spending some of the money they had got from working at Grandpa's hamburger stand. And then they went to all the little contests trying to win the stuffed animals to impress the girls. And finally, after a few hours of fun, they thought, you know what would really impress them? We should take them to our grandpa's hamburger stand and get them some burgers. They'll just love that. And he was also thinking that I can also show grandpa, look at these cute girls that we've been talking to. And so they took the girls to the hamburger stand, and they got there and walked up to grandpa and began ordering their burgers and said, hey, grandpa, did you see the girls that were with? And grandpa looked up and said, oh, that's wonderful. I see you've already met your cousins. I share that story because, Bruce surely thought he knew what he wanted. But grandpa had some information that he didn't. And I think we can see that with the Lord, that sometimes in our life we think we know what's best, we know what we want, but often God knows better. He has information that we don't. We see Israel thought it knew what it wanted. God had rescued them out of slavery from Egypt. God said, I will be your God, you will be my people. But Israel looked around at the other nations and saw, oh, they have kings. God, we want to have a king like the other people. God knew better. God knew what was best for them, but Israel wouldn't listen to the Lord. Israel looked at the other nations and saw all these idols and gods and statues that they were worshiping and thought, oh, we too want to be like the other nations and worship these other gods and have our idols and statues. And so they turned their hearts away from God. They listened to false prophets, as we heard in our Old Testament lesson in Jeremiah. But yet we see God was patient with them. God was merciful with them. And through Israel, God would send his son, Jesus Christ. But we see even with Christ and his disciples, that the disciples thought that they knew what they wanted, that they knew what was best. They argued amongst themselves that who would be the greatest? Who can be at Jesus' side when he comes into his kingdom? But Jesus said, no, whoever wants to be first should be last. Who wants to be the greatest should be the servant of all. We see even in our gospel reading, as Jesus begins to share the plan of the cross, that Jesus would suffer and die on the third day, rise again. Peter thought he knew what was best. He tried to rebuke Jesus, said, oh no, this must not be the way. And in the same way, when the world looks at the cross and sees this is the God's plan of salvation, the world says, oh, that's foolishness, that cannot be. But Christ knew what was best. He knew that it would be going to the cross, giving his own life, was the way to win salvation for Peter, for his disciples, for all of us, for all who believe. God knows what he's doing. We see that throughout Scripture. Even when it looks like foolishness to everyone else, we heard there in Hebrews about using Gideon, the weak, Samson, the not very bright, David, kind of the short one. The world would say, why would you pick these people? But God knew what he was doing in using them to show his strength, to show his might. God knows what he's doing. We can see it in Scripture, and I know I can see it in my own life as I look back at growing up here in St. Peter's and just the youth pastors and people, the volunteers and sponsors that God had put in my life. Getting to go with the youth group here on trips to Mexico and doing vacation Bible school for these children, I just see how God was preparing me to go to Ukraine. Long before I even had any clue what Ukraine was, God was preparing my heart to go and serve. Well, what amazes me is the work that God was already doing in Ukraine before I even got there. Working through Nita Hansen to really change the hearts of people with their attitudes toward people with special needs in Ukraine. That there are already pastors like Kostya who were working with children with special needs. And really, it's been a joy to have Kostya be working with me in Ukraine, working at our camps. He gets to visit close to 100 homes every year as Father Frost, Santa Claus in Ukraine, visiting people that have received wheelchairs and walkers for us. And so I just wanted to give him an opportunity just to share how he also can look back and see how God had worked in his life to bring him to faith, to bring him to be a servant of him. So Pastor Kostya is going to share.
Good morning. It's an honor and pleasure for me to be here. And I know several of you we've met over the last few years. I'm a little nervous. For me, actually, getting to talk in front of the church every Sunday, that happens every Sunday in our church, is, making a step out of a comfort zone a lot. I met Bruce, the man Scott mentioned, 3 years ago, and we became very good friends. He got the Bible recently by accident. Do you believe in accidents or coincidences? I don't. So he got a Bible. He already had a Bible. But Nita shipped a Bible for herself. And he thought it was, it was meant as a gift for him. And so he took it and started reading. Now he got to the point of Moses' calling. We had coffee in the morning. And he told us that Moses is kind of, what the word did he use?
A shady
guy. Now, who is your favorite character in the Bible? Who's your favorite Bible hero? Could be David, right? Or Abraham. Could be Apostle Paul. Could be just anybody. For me, I think it's Nehemiah. A great example of a great leader. You can benefit from him in almost everything you do, in business, in the church, in your family. But who do you identify with the most? Honestly. Me? Moses. I don't know. I may not be a shady person. But for me, actually, really, it takes a lot of effort to overcome fear, to face challenges. Like every time we have a Bible, a camp for our children and youth, with God's hidden treasures, it's a challenge for me, believe it or not. Scott may not believe that, but it's a challenge for me. Coming here to the United States 3 years ago with Nita and spending time in Southern California and meeting with the churches and charities and people who are supporting God's hidden treasures in Ukraine was quite a challenge. In fact, I could have come a few years earlier in 2014. That's when the war started in Ukraine. And everyone was very upset about it. Everyone was distressed. And it was the bad time. But the cause was good. And I applied for the visa. And I was turned down. I applied the second time. And they told me, it'll be a shame if you're turned down the third time. You know, don't apply. And I think just even going to apply for a visa was quite a challenge. Coming out of a comfort zone, I get scared, I get nervous. But then I thought, well, the Lord needs me here. And I think, I really believe that if it wasn't for that, for what had happened, Scott wouldn't have met his wife. If it wasn't for that, a lot of work wouldn't have been done. So, in a way, God was directing me in my life to accomplish His purposes and not mine. Well, I grew up in atheistic society. You may have heard about Soviet Union. You know, you have heard lots of myths about Soviet people. You know, you probably knew that, you know, there are bears that walking down the streets of, you know, of Russia and Ukraine and, you know, playing balalaika, you know, kind of a little guitar. And we thought that United States is the most terrible place to live in. One of the things that was really for real in the Soviet Union was the lack of freedom of religion. You could not believe God openly. You cannot profess your faith. You could not evangelize. You would be persecuted in school. You couldn't go to university if you were a believer. So it was quite a challenge. And I was taught that there's no God. My parents were atheists. My grandma was a believer, but she could not profess her faith. So I remember that day very vividly. My first history class at school, and our teacher gave us a brief overview of the world history. And of course, they mentioned Christianity. They said Christianity was invented by the slave owners to keep the slaves under control. So I came over to my grandma after school, and I said, "Grandma, you know, there's no God." I knew she believed in God. She read her Bible. She prayed to God. And I said, "There's no God. It's all just, you know, imagination, fiction." And she said, "Is that so? Well, you will grow up and you will know." I think I was 8 or 9 at that time. And, if somebody would tell me that I will be standing here as the minister of the Word of God, of the Church of God, and speaking to you all, I mean, it would blow my mind away. So, later on, when I started reading the gospel, I had lots of doubts. Do I obey the gospel? What if I do obey the gospel? What if I follow Christ? What would people think about me? What would my parents say? What reaction will I see? Oh, and I could imagine that it is going to be bad. Everybody will be laughing at me. The people will despise me. My parents will probably think I'm crazy or something. And it was a lot. It was a great effort to just to get out of that comfort zone, because it's not about just what I feel, what other people say. It's the matter of life and death. Christ is involved in that. Christ died for me. So it's His death and my life. It's my death and his life. So, I'm supposed to share about myself. but I don't think it would be fair to wrap it up just, you know, talking about me and what I did. Actually, I honestly do identify myself with Moses. Moses had lots of excuses. He said, "Who am I? I cannot speak. What would people say? What do I tell them?" And God gave him, he equipped him with everything he needed to have just to accomplish the purpose that was there for him. And we know that Moses was successful in that. Paul says in Romans 7, it's a great chapter about the struggle that's going on within you. And that struggle involves actually getting out of the comfort zone and letting God guide you. So I know what I want, but I don't do what I want to do. Why? Because there's a struggle. My flesh wants the things its way and not God's way. And the spirit is fighting against the flesh. And then in Ephesians, Paul expands it to talk about the battle, the real warfare that's going on in our hearts. And it's not against flesh and blood. It's against Satan. And we know that for sure. So God equips us with all we need. He tells us what to do. And it's up to us to decide whether we want it to do or we don't want it to do. And then in Galatians 2:20, Paul says, "It's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me." I think it's the vital point. God really does know. He guides us. He leads us. He opens all the truths. He gives us everything that we need for life and righteousness. But in the end, it is up to us to say, it is not I, not my will, but your will. Just like Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, it is no longer I live, but Christ who lives in me. May the Lord bless you, and I'm greatly honored to be with you and share the love of our Lord Jesus Christ and faith in him.
As Costa shared with me his testimony of how he came to be a believer in Christ, one of the things that really struck me is for a long time in that struggle, he just felt like, well, you know, maybe I'm just not worthy. But a good friend of his said, you know what, you'll never be worthy. And we know that's the truth of the gospel, that we weren't worthy. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. He gave his life for us, this free gift of grace. And the world says that can't be. It can't be possible. No, we must have had to earn it. We must do something for God to love us. But we see the cross is that free gift. And what a pleasure to see that free gift work even in the Soviet Union, that God worked in Kostya's heart and brought him to Christ, and to see even today, as we get to share that good news in Ukraine, God is working. He really knows what he's doing. Amen.